This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
I don't know about you, Jessica, but these chilly mornings, it's almost feeling like fall to me.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, I'm even wearing like a flannel today.
Flannel, you got everything there. All right, well, we've got TMJ4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson with us. And Brendan, have you noticed that as well, that it's almost starting to feel like fall?
So, Libby, yesterday when I went home from work, I was driving down Capitol Drive, windows open, sunroof open, and blasting This Is Halloween. The famous pumpkin song, right down Capitol Drive. Yes,
I love it.
It is feeling so much like fall, and this is my favorite. I am, honestly, the bane of the existence of all my coworkers, because nobody wants to rush in the season of fall. So everyone kind of rolls their eyes whenever I bring up that.
You just want that pumpkin spice.
I do. And we have been tracking it. Internet rumors and leaks suggesting it's around the corner. The 22nd is the rumor. So we'll see.
Oh, so that's the official start of fall, I think. But speaking from your perspective, now, we did have some heat a couple weeks ago that definitely felt like dog days of summer. But it seems like this is a little bit early for things to be cooling off so much. Is this a trend? Is this an anomaly? Is it really going to be like this the next couple months?
You know, this is just, I think, a one-off. We are starting to get into that period of time. You know, usually mid-late July is, on average, the warmest time of the year in southeastern Wisconsin. We're now beyond that. So from here on out, we can look for some changes in the weather pattern. We could see some cooler bouts of air. This one is not long-lasting. This is going away as quickly as it arrived. We will bring back temperatures generally close to average for the remainder of the week, and you will notice the humidity go up as well. So I begrudgingly say, yes, it is still summer. It's not fall yet, but do look for some changes in the temperatures and the overall weather pattern here in the next few weeks into next month. You know, September 1st is the beginning of meteorological fall, and that's when we really start gearing up for some changes.
Yep, when the kids start going back to school, and we know it's the end of summer because today's the last day of the state fair.
It is. And you know what? I got to tell you, this weekend was probably one of the best to take advantage of the state fair. I know I've heard so many stories of people dodging rain, storms. It's too hot. It's too humid. Well, we kind of wrapped up the state fair on a really good note. And we'll look for temperatures today to be just a couple degrees warmer than yesterday, around 78 or so in Milwaukee and West Allis. And then tonight's another night with numbers in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, it sounds like a beautiful day. Brendan Johnson from TMJ4. Always great to have you here.
You too, Libby. We'll see ya.
And, of course, today is the final day of the Wisconsin State Fair, and we're going to hear all about what's going on with Sherry Black. That'll be in about an hour. Also, State Fair might be ending today, but there's still plenty of things to do this week. We're going to hear about one of the most popular events at the zoo, and that's getting underway as well. Plus, as you are probably aware at this point, new body camera information was released this week showing the chaos right as the assassination attempt of former President Trump was taking place. Well, I talked with News Nation's Elizabeth Pran about some unanswered questions, and I think you'll find what she has to say very interesting. Also, we'll be joined by our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen. She's got, she talks about a passport renewal scam, which you've got to be so careful out there. Plus, and I'm looking forward to this, we're going to meet Timothy Gibbons. He is the new editor-in-chief from the Milwaukee Business Journal, and he's got news about a possible sales tax in Waukesha County. Plus, we've got Matt Miller here. He's going to look at a husband and wife battle at the box office. We'll take a look back at the week in review. As you just heard, Jessica Gatso is here in the newsroom. Isaac Markhart is pressing those buttons. And in just 2 minutes, it's Wyatt Barmore-Pooley with sports on this really cool Sunday morning. It's 63 degrees at 8:12 on WTMJ.
A classic pitcher's duel at American Family Field Saturday night as Tobias Myers and Nick Martinez match zeros through seven innings. The Brewers only mustering up one measly single until Rhys Hoskins stepped to the plate in the eighth inning.
And the pitch. Hit to left and deep. Get up! Get up! Get up! Aaron gone for Hoskins!
Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker on the call here on WTMJ. And after Hoskins' 20th big fly of the year gave the crew the lead, it was time for Devin Williams to get his first save of the year with a bang.
The stretch and the pitch. He struck him out, swinging. And he just struck out the side. And the Brewers have beaten the Cincinnati Reds.
Brewers go for the sweep Sunday afternoon. Our coverage starts with Brewers warm-up at noon right here on WTMJ. Jordan Love returning to the field Saturday for the first time since being made the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL. Only two passes for the Packers' $220 million man in Green Bay's postseason opener. But his last was a 65-yard touchdown pass to Dontavion Wicks, and the Pack was off and running to a 23-10 win over the Cleveland Browns. Only one moment tarnishing a solid team effort for the green and gold. Rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd left the game with a hamstring injury. Next week, the Pack takes on the Broncos on Sunday. And a banner day for the red, white, and blue in Paris. Let's run down the gold medals. Men's basketball downs the host nation to win the U.S.'s fifth straight gold. Steph Curry with a flurry of three-pointers, and now all of America knows why it was so fun to be a Warriors fan during their run. Women's soccer returning to the top for the first time since the 2012 games. Mallory Swanson with the only goal. Alyssa Nair, another stellar performance in goal. Two shutouts in the semifinal and final for the U.S. keeper. And in track and field, the Americans sweep the 4x400 relay in both genders. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Wyatt. Always great to hear from you. It is 8:16, 63 degrees. Going to be a pretty nice day today. We're going to get up there in the 70s, as Brenda Johnson was just telling us. It's going to be pretty, pretty nice if you're going out to the fair. And again, we're going to be talking with Sherry Black from the Wisconsin State Fair around 9:07 this morning. We'll find out all the things that are going on this final day. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, he's new to town, but he is on the beat already. It is the new editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal, Timothy Gibbons. He's going to be joining us in just a couple minutes right here on WTMJ. It is going to be a beautiful Sunday, sunny, comfortable. You know, that humidity is not really going to be there. We're going to get up to about 78 degrees. Just a perfect day, whether you're cooking out, going to State Fair, getting together with the family. Maybe you've got some of that boating you want to get out of your system, or even go to the beach. Great day to do it. Then tonight, clear, cool, down to about 62. Now, as you get further inland, we're going to get back into the mid-50s. Tomorrow looks partly cloudy. We do have a slight chance of a shower, but a high of 80 degrees. Then on Tuesday, mostly sunny and 80. Wednesday, mostly sunny and 81. And Thursday, some clouds will increase, and we'll have a chance of some showers and storms and a high of 78 degrees. Currently in Brookfield, it's 61. Richfield has 60. Greenfield, you're at 62 degrees, and we have 63 degrees at 8:19 on WTMJ. It's time to check in with the Milwaukee Business Journal, and joining us today is the new editor-in-chief, Timothy Gibbons. And first of all, Tim, this is our first time together. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
I know, and we're so excited to have you here in Milwaukee. And let's talk about some of the stories that you've been covering this week. A big one, and that's a possible sales tax in Waukesha County?
Yeah, I am new, so don't press me too much on the details, but clearly this is a huge thing for the businesses, for the residents there. Waukesha County is one of the very few in the state that does not have a sales tax, and their budgets are hurting, frankly, and they have to figure out what to do. So the sales tax is not the only thing they're looking at. Wheel tax is possible. They could try to raise their property tax levy, but the sales tax seems to be, from the people that we're talking to, kind of the idea that people are coalescing around.
Well, you see so much retail growth in the area of Waukesha County. I would imagine they're looking at that as sort of a gold mine in some ways.
In some ways, what I found interesting, and this is, that's obviously very much an area that does not want to raise taxes. They're proud of their low taxes. You know, everybody we talk to there is allergic to raising taxes, but they realize that if you're going to have the services that people are moving there for, you got to pay for them. One of the issues is that the sales tax would actually raise too much money. They don't...
Wait. How can you raise too much money?
Because they have a budget deficit of... Do not hold me on this figure. I want to say it was $5 or $6 million, and the tax would raise, you know, basically 10 times that. So then you have a question. Can you divvy that up among the cities in a different way? Can you have a sales tax for a certain amount of time? Can they petition the state to let them raise the sales tax, but not by the amount, by the amount that they would otherwise have to. So they're looking at different options. One of the benefits, obviously, is a sales tax does not just hit residents. You talk about the growing retail in the area. Restaurants are booming in Waukesha County. It's the first place for a number of chain restaurants that have moved to the greater Milwaukee area. They've located there. It's not just Waukesha County residents who are eating in those restaurants. There are people from other outlying areas, people from the city of Milwaukee. So a sales tax would bring money in from outsiders. And obviously, if you're an insider, you much prefer having that money come from people who are not you, in addition to the people who live there.
Well, you mentioned restaurants, and that's another booming area in Waukesha County. Not only the chain restaurants, but you have a lot of local chefs, restaurateurs, who, even if they've got a place in the city, they're opening a second place in Waukesha County.
Right, exactly. So it's been the spot the number of national chains have landed. BJ's Restaurant, Portillo's, Buffalo Wild Wings. They came to the state for the first time, and Waukesha is where they wanted to be. What's interesting when you talk to both real estate leaders and political leaders there is they are focused on trying to keep the Waukesha County vibe, which does include chain restaurants, but also has those local culinary arts being portrayed, whether it's people from Waukesha or people from Milwaukee expanding there, sort of thing. So it's kind of neat to hear them focusing on keeping what makes Waukesha special, keeping that in place. And of course, even those franchises, they're national chains, but the people who own those are oftentimes local as well. So sometimes I think when we talk about restaurants, we draw this line between the national ones and the local ones. But from a business standpoint, you know, these are entrepreneurs, these are local entrepreneurs in the same sort of way.
Well, Marcus Theaters has a huge presence, obviously, in Waukesha County, as well as other parts of Wisconsin and actually the whole country. But they're going to do something a little bit different, and I'm excited about this.
So they rolled this out in the second quarter, which was, frankly, not a great quarter for them. But if you are part of their membership club, you can get free popcorn when you go to the movies on Tuesdays. Just to be clear, do not show up demanding free popcorn, you know, on a Friday night.
I could go on a Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. No, the movie business is a rough one. It's a tough thing to make money in that. Now, this year, past couple months have actually been good in terms of movies. Despicable Me 4 went gangbusters. I think that Inside Out was the highest grossing animated movie ever. The Deadpool and Wolverine movie is the highest grossing R-rated movie ever. So there are some bright spots in it. But, you know, over the pandemic, a lot of people learn to enjoy the comfort of sitting on their couch watching a movie. You can pause it. There's nobody talking. Home can be a fun place to watch a movie, but Marcus is hoping that free popcorn makes the theater a fun place to watch a movie.
And of course, popcorn, that's their big markup.
Yes, it is. But so what's interesting is Tuesdays, there's a ticket deal for everybody with an extra buck off if you're a member. And their average concession revenue per ticket actually went up by a couple percentage points. And as you said, I mean, the movie business is a weird one where we think of going to the movies as going to the movies. But if you're in the business, you think of it as selling tubs of popcorn.
Exactly. All right. We're going to turn to something that's not as upbeat. And, you know, we've seen it, obviously, in the stock market. Some manufacturing plants are starting to cut back.
Yeah, exactly. So Rockwell Automation is the one that they came out with their quarterly earnings this week. And as part of that, they trimmed their guidance for the year. In their case, it's because manufacturing customers are putting off some of the investment that they would otherwise make in their factories. It can be a tough time right now for manufacturers. The issue of demand dropping has economists concerned kind of overall of where the economy is going. We saw the same thing last year from a logistics standpoint, where you had a lot of retailers who had inventory overhangs and just they had so much inventory they didn't need more inventory, and that impacts the people who make whatever the inventory is as well as the people who ship it. So now it's manufacturing where a little bit of a slowdown, a little bit of less capital going into these major projects, and obviously a company like Rockwell, that ends up hitting their bottom line.
All right, finally, let's turn to something really fun. This is all over the world, and it's coming to Tulsa.
It is a troll, which is somehow it
Wait
feels
a
like
a yeah, what?
A troll.
Describe what a troll is for people who don't know. They're not just looking at celebrities online.
No. So I should correct myself. It's a giant troll. So this is a sculpture that is made by an artist called Thomas Danbo, who has built these things around the world. It's made out of recycled material, and it is a giant troll. Public art. it is designed, Wauwatosa is basically hoping that it attracts visitors, kind of gives the city a vibe as a creative, artsy sort of place. And frankly, if you look at the pictures, it just looks kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. And it's big.
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, it is absurdly huge. The picture that we have on our website, if you go to MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com, you can see a picture of the artist standing next to one of these. And I mean, it's 6 or 7 times the size of a human being. So it's going to be a stunning thing. When we wrote this story, I was trying to picture somebody who doesn't know it's there. So if you're a visitor, you want to go and see it, that's going to be cool. But can you imagine? You're driving down the street, turn the corner, and particularly in the winter, sky's a little overcast, covered with snow. Somebody's going to, you know, freak out a little bit.
I think you're right, but I love the name Tosa Troll.
Yes.
That's going to be a thing for sure. They'll probably do t-shirts and who knows what else.
I would definitely buy a t-shirt.
Tim Gibbons, a pleasure to have you here. We'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
I cannot wait for the Tosa Troll. I think that is going to be so cool. I don't know if you've ever seen these, but they literally are all over the world and they're in some unusual spots, but they're huge and they're really troll-like. Some would call them ugly. Some would call them cute. I would just say they're definitely trolls. It is 8, putting Tosa on the map. It's 8:27. We have 64 degrees at WTMJ. And welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking with Sherry Black from the Wisconsin State Fair. It is the final day of the fair, so we got to hear what's going on. And talking about going on, well, Kamala this past week picked a running mate. Hurricane Debbie slammed the East Coast, and stick or no stick. Celebrity edition. There's so much more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Tragedy at the temple.
Today marks 12 years since the shooting at the Oak Creek Sikh Temple of Wisconsin.
Now you think about all the mass shootings. Now you think about the hate crimes. And I wonder if it just has become a blip in America's consciousness.
International markets taking a hit as fears of a possible U.S. recession grows. ABC's chief correspondent, Rebecca Jarvis.
Overnight, Japan's Nikkei plunged 12%, its worst day since the 1987 Black Monday crash.
Dow Jones futures nosedived 3.3% or 1,300 points.
From the WTMJ Breaking News Center, we have breaking news this morning. The VP has made her selection. Vice President Kamala Harris has selected Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to be her running mate.
I can't wait to debate the guy, if he's willing to get off the couch and show up.
I don't know what that means.
I figured I'd come by. Wanted to see a good look at the plane. Hopefully it's going to be my plane in a few months.
Wait a minute. I know you.
J.D. Vance.
Why would people in Wisconsin want to have a beer with you?
They'd want to have a beer with me because I actually do like to drink beer, and I probably like to drink beer a little bit too much.
Okay, keep her moving.
Hello, Eau Claire. Isn't it good to have a candidate who can pronounce the name correctly?
Good afternoon, Wisconsin!
Ultimately, this election is about a question that we each face. What kind of country do we want to live in?
And now, things that do not exist.
If you know Minnesota, and I don't well, especially Milwaukee, it's changed.
These have been things that do not exist.
Winds were whipping Taylor County, Florida, as extreme rainfall caused flooding near the point of Hurricane Debbie's landfall.
We have been getting crushed by these outer bands, these waves from the Gulf of Mexico just roiling up and over.
Arrest warrants are out for 4 men charged with felony murder in connection to the death of Devante Mitchell.
The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office filing 4 felony murder charges, and arrest warrants have been issued for Todd Erickson, Devin Johnson Carson, Brandon Turner, and Herbert Williamson.
Under the Prince Act, Wisconsin will now issue missing child alerts for missing people under 18 and believed to be unable to return home, as well as those under 10 years old and meeting certain criteria.
When I lost my child, it felt like I lost my life.
Watch them closely because you never know what could happen.
Eric Hovde is running for the U.S. Senate, and Eric Hovde is with us live in our State Fair studio. I want you to respond to the assertion that she made as part of her TV ads where she says, Eric Hovde's not even really a Wisconsin guy.
Where do I pay my tax? I pay my taxes in the state of Wisconsin.
A man who needs no introduction is here with us in person, the one, the only, Charlie Behrens. Oh,
thank you.
Oh, there we go.
Got the mic on. Oh, gosh.
You have this little button here that says on, off. That's super cool.
This game is very simple. It's stick or no stick.
Wisconsin Old Fashioned Rice Krispie.
Stick.
I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Oh, brother, this guy
Are you even from Wisconsin, Charlie?
No, I'm not. Apparently, I've lost my Wisconsin card with this.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a first at the Wisconsin State Fair.
I've been working on a way of making a flaming cream puff juggleable.
All right, operators are standing by. All right, one is lit.
Light three.
It's lit.
Three are lit, and
Whoa.
They are going to be juggled. Oh, goodness. He did it, and the flames are staying lit. Now,
and the cream is going everywhere, but the flames.
You'll see people wearing shirts from over the years with kegs that they've killed. I don't have one yet. But you know who scored a shirt?
Dan Devine, mayor of the city of West Allis.
You have killed a keg at the micro.
I was lucky enough one time, knocked off a barrel of Door County cherry wheat.
Three beers. Four beers.
Oh, no.
Five beers. Six beers. Seven beers. Eight beers. Nine beers. And a Bloody Mary.
What are we, gay?
I'm not that crazy of a person.
Get off the couch.
Let's go, Brandon.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
And that's The Weeknd Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Did you see the flaming juggler at the State Fair? It was really interesting because he was on one of those, they're like the skateboards, but they... Isaac, you know what I'm talking about. They kind of move by themselves.
The hoverboard.
Hoverboard. He was like on a hoverboard, and he had all of these flaming objects that he was juggling. Dropped him a few times, too. But it was part, I don't know if it was part of the act or not, but it looked dangerous to me. All right. Let's see. We've got a lot more going on. If you are planning a last-minute trip, and you might be in the same boat as I was last year, getting your passport renewed in a hurry, well, be careful. Because there are some scams out there, and we're going to tell you all about it. It's coming up next on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's 8:40. It's going to be a beautiful day today. We're going to get up to about 78 degrees. Currently, it is 64 WTMJ at 8:42. Joining us is Michelle Reinen from DatCap, our consumer expert. And Michelle, I went through this last year. We had a not very much planned in advance trip to Europe, and I had to get a passport renewed in a hurry. And I guess a lot of people have that issue, but some of them are getting scammed.
Yeah, absolutely. If you just search online, those top results might show official-looking websites offering to renew or get you a passport. And some of those websites are private companies that charge for services that could be free if you just go to the U.S. Department of State website yourself. While others are scammers trying to take your money and personal information and deliver nothing for what they gather from you. So what happens is scammers set up sites with similar names, flags, and seals, and they pretend to be affiliated with the government, and they charge anywhere from $60 to a few $100s. Mm-hmm. They promise to get you a passport. In some cases, they promise to elevate your status so you'll get things quicker. And if you're in a situation like you were where you want to take that trip quickly, you could really fall victim to this.
And, you know, when you're got your back against a wall, sometimes you get desperate.
Yeah, absolutely. But the safest thing is to go to the official site where you need to be doing business. And in this case, that's travel.state.gov. Again, the U.S. Department of State, where you will be able to work with the government officially. And they have an expedited process listed there. And yes, you will have to pay your normal passport fees, but you're not paying a company to do business for you where they won't be able to elevate your status. And you're not giving your information to a scammer where you'll end up with nothing.
And I'm going to give you one tip, too. If you really have a problem, you can always call your congressman or your senator. And that's what I ended up doing. And they were wonderful.
Excellent advice there, because they are available to receive those requests and can help assist individuals with government processes.
All right. So if you have any problems, Michelle, let's give that Wisconsin Consumer Protection Hotline number.
1-800-422-7128.
It's 8:45, and coming up in 1 minute, it's Wyatt Barmore Pooley and Sports on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Making his first game appearance since becoming the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL, Jordan Love needed only two passes in the Green Bay Packers' preseason debut to show why he's worth the green for the green and gold.
Looking deep downfield, and he's got it.
Dontavian Wicks is going to get into the end zone for a touchdown.
A 65-yard touchdown pass on his only series of the day. Love only throwing two passes before turning it over to the backup battle of Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt, who led the rest of the way to a 23-10 win over the Cleveland Browns. Only one bit of a downer for the Pack. Rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd leaving the game with a hamstring injury. Next week, the Pack will take on the Denver Broncos on Sunday. On the diamond, the Brewers only needed two hits for the victory Saturday night. That's because one of them was this.
And the pitch.
One nothing final at American Family Field. Tobias Myers masterful again through 7 1/3 innings, a career-high 9 strikeouts for the Brewers right-hander. The crew goes for the sweep Sunday afternoon. Our coverage starts with Brewers warm-up at noon here on WTMJ. And put a white beard on me and call me Uncle Sam. It's time for some good old-fashioned Olympic gloating. Women's soccer, gold for the first time since 2012. 4x400 relay, gold in men's, gold in women's. Men's basketball, America's got Steph Curry. And the golden dagger to seal the triumph has to be seen to be believed. Imperial beats metric, baby, USA. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks, Uncle Sam. I mean, Wyatt, always great to hear from you. It's 8:47. We have 65 degrees. We're going to get up to about 78 today under sunny skies. Coming up, it's Matt Miller. He's got news about a husband and wife battle at the box office. It's all ahead right here on WTMJ. It's time to check in with Matt Miller. You know him, of course, as the pop culture editor and movie critic from onmilwaukee.com. And there are some new movies out this week, and it looks like maybe there's going to be a husband and wife duel.
A little bit, and excitingly so, at the top of the box office. So Blake Lively, famously Ryan Reynolds / Deadpool's wife and a movie star of her own, obviously. She's got a new movie this weekend. It Ends With Us, based on a Colleen Hoover book, very popular, and it's but turned into a quiet late summer smash this weekend. I think it's opening around $50 million, which
what?
Is, I think, pretty much double what was originally kind of expected of it. And it's really nice to see, you know, for all the hand-wringing earlier this summer about the box office, it seems like things have really recovered, and you like seeing stuff like this where, you know, a drama, a straightforward romantic drama that, you know, isn't an original movie, but isn't, you know, obviously a remake or a reboot or, you know, based on a product or something like that per se, or a name brand in a way. You know, a movie like that is about to make a ton of money this weekend, and it's great. It's great to see.
What's the plot of the film?
It's a relationship drama about a woman who's like in a bad relationship and she's trying to figure out the next steps in her life. And it's about female friendship, and it's about Blake Lively's character kind of self-actualizing and stuff like that. Again, not the kind of stuff that Hollywood typically is like, oh, we got to greenlit this. It doesn't really have that big hook, but it's got the book behind it. It's got, you know, its fans, obviously. And I do think a big thing here is it is a movie made for women, then made primarily for female audiences. And Hollywood, for some odd reason, refuses to make these movies. You know, 2-3 years ago, Where the Crawdads Sing made its money back and then some. It was a really big summer hit. It almost made $100 million on a budget 1/4 of that. And for some odd reason, Hollywood didn't see that and think, oh, we should do more of this. Hollywood thought, oh, that's interesting. Let's never talk about this ever again. And, you know, this happens every time a female kind of centric movie does well. It happened when Magic Mike opened really big. It happened when the Sex and the City movie became a massive blockbuster. For some odd reason, Hollywood doesn't get it that women like seeing movies too.
Well, Blake Lively up to this point, I know the name, but I knew her most as being Ryan Reynolds' wife. Is this going to put her on a different plateau if this movie is such a hit?
She was always a star. I mean, from Gossip Girl, and then she was in the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants movies. She had a few action movies and a few dramas along the way, too. But I think this is one of those things where people are going to be able to point to this and say, look, she opened this movie. This is a Blake Lively movie, and it's about to have one of the bigger openings of the summer. And again, you like to see it, and hopefully Hollywood doesn't memory vault this, shove it in the memory bank and forget it happened, and instead be like, okay, let's make more movies for this audience. It's like the Five Nights with Freddy's thing that happened last Halloween. Younger audiences want movies directed towards them. Women want movies directed towards them. You know, Black audiences, Latino audiences. People want movies that are made for them on some level, and Hollywood has kind of stopped doing that, or at least they don't do it for anyone besides, you know, 18-year-old white dudes.
Well, he's back. And he doesn't make that many movies, and that's what, M. Shyamalan?
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
He makes like a movie a year these days. You don't hear about him as much because they're not as catastrophically awful as some of those movies from a decade ago were, and they're not as good as The Sixth Sense, but he's got this new one, Trap, with Josh Hartnett as a dad taking his daughter to kind of a Taylor Swift-looking concert, and it turns out the concert is a trap designed to catch a serial killer. And lo and behold, Josh Hartnett is that serial killer. It's a very silly movie. It is a movie.
Well, now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I will say, I had a lot of fun with this movie. If you are like a nitpicker, you will find plenty of logic gaps in this movie to say, oh, well, that's silly. But if you kind of just go along for the ride, if you go along for this kind of modern day Hitchcock thriller situation, I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this very wild, very fun movie. Well, and also, Josh Hartnett's legitimately good in it. For a guy who people toss off back in the Pearl Harbor days as kind of just a heartthrob, he's genuinely really good in this. And between Trap and Oppenheimer last year, he was a big part of Oppenheimer. The Josh Hartnett essence might be upon us.
Again, the plot is interesting. It's something I haven't seen before, so I might make it a point to go and see that one. Finally, then, now here's one. If you're a video game fan, you might like it, but it's kind of getting panned.
Yeah, it's not good. It's called Borderlands. It's based on a video game. It's very much trying to be a Guardians of the Galaxy situation. And right now, I think it has like a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I know people are going to hear that and be like, wow, that sounds really terrible. I got to see how awful this thing is. You don't. It is not that. It's not like a The Room style thing where you watch it and you're like, oh, wow, this is catastrophic. You're just going to watch it and be really bored. Like, it's not bad per se in like a, oh, my gosh, how did this get made way. It's bad in a functionally boring way where you're just watching it. And you're waiting for something interesting or exciting or even unintentionally, you know, noteworthy to happen. And it never does. You are going to forget you watched Borderlands by the time the end credits start. It is that unmemorable. So, yeah, not a great way to end the summer there on that one.
Well, we're ending the Olympics, and what's your overall impression of what we saw on TV?
I had a really good time watching this year's Olympics. I think NBC did a pretty good job of adapting to the kind of time hop and the kind of different ways people watch the Olympics now in this modern era. You know, I think having all the sports on live on Peacock during the day was really nice because you could kind of watch the events and like the meaningful gold medal stuff as they happened in the afternoon. And then at night, you kind of got the highlights. So I think that's kind of the way forward, especially for when the Olympics are in places where there's a significant time jump and you're not able to watch everything. I also think a lot of these streaming services, they kind of hop on some of these sports. You know, I got really into archery this Olympics. It's a great background noise sport, and it's very easy to understand. And I think, you know, if these streaming services are looking for programming and looking for things to keep people's eyeballs glued to them, find like a random archery league. Find like some random gymnastics league or diving league or something like that. Because I think we're all into these sports for this 2 weeks. And, you know, why not capitalize on that?
No, I kind of want to find the guy from Turkey who's the gunman.
Yeah, that guy.
There should be a movie about him.
Yeah, it's called John Wick. but no, that guy is great. That's always the fun thing about the Olympics, the kind of unexpected characters that come out of it all. And I'm going to end this on a little bit of a grump because this weekend was the debut of the breaking competitions at the Olympics for the first time ever.
You mean like breakdance? Breakdance, yeah.
And I was excited about it, and then I watched it this weekend, and I got it doesn't fit. And it's not a problem with the athletes. They are genuine athletes. These are genuine skills and talents they have. It's very impressive what they're doing, but it's a little bit like skateboarding at the Olympics, where the Olympics are just too formal. They're too staid. They're too rigid for sports like this. You know, it's weird watching people do breakdancing moves at the Olympics, and you hear the announcer being like, ooh, they're doing their traditional freezes. And it's just like, that's not how this is
supposed to
work.
No, they had the wrong person doing the commentary. It should have been Snoop. It should have been Snoop. I mean, and he should have rapped. He should have rapped while they were breaking, and that would have been an event.
Is Snoop Dogg the new official mascot of the Olympic Games? Like, they should send him to every Olympic Games, because no one has more fun and no one does a better job of kind of conveying the excitement of some of these sports than Snoop Dogg. He just has kind of an everyday person's enthusiasm for these remarkable things.
And nobody can pull off a dressage outfit like Snoop Dogg. And I'll leave it at that. Matt Miller, it's always great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
I thought the best event was Martha Stewart trying to get Snoop Dogg to try escargot. Now, that in itself should be an Olympic sport. All right, we're coming up to the news with Jessica. And when we get back, what's the last day at the Wisconsin State Fair going to be like? Sherry Black's going to tell us. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And welcome back to our second hour. A little bit later on, as you well know, the footage was released from the local authorities at the assassination attempt of President Trump. And we're going to be talking with Elizabeth Pran from News Nation about that. And she has some interesting insight on that. Right now, though, we've got Jessica here. Jessica, FEMA. Interesting stories. And I know it's not a huge story, but I think for people who frequent the Brookfield post office, they would find this very interesting, where a car around 11 o'clock yesterday morning literally went up the curb across the sidewalk and crashed in through the window and ended up in the inside of the post office, knocking some of the fixtures. Luckily, nobody was hurt, but that
The photo.
That's one of those stories that kind of. I go to that post office, and I mean, I've stood right there where that car is, and I mean that. It's just gratefully, thank God, nobody was hurt in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely not the first car into the front window story we've seen as far as that kind of crash. I try to remember. I know there was a restaurant downtown several months ago. I don't remember which. Restaurant that was, but a very similar photo of like, a car in the front, crashed into the front window of a storefront. But I think, luckily no one was injured in that case either. But we don't have many details on how this happened and what was kind of going on with the driver.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's somebody who's confused or preoccupied doing something else, and instead of hitting the brake, they hit that accelerator, or instead of being in reverse, they're actually in drive. And but I'm just glad nobody was hurt in that, because that's very busy post office, especially on Saturday mornings. Okay, the other thing, and you were at the fair the other night, and you did something kind of interesting, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of this particular element of the fair.
Yeah, there's actually these, I guess I'd call them adventure walks you could go on. And the point is kind of to earn your own state fair ribbon. So there's something called the art walk. There's also a garden walk and a history walk. And it's sort of like a scavenger hunt that takes you around the fairgrounds. You have this punch card. And if you fill out your entire punch card, you can go back to the Expo Center or Grand Champion Hall and get your own ribbon for completing one of these walks.
And you got a blue ribbon.
Mm-hmm. Well, not blue. There's different colored ribbons. Some people actually do this walk every year because they say the ribbon color changes every year and they like to collect them. So I think
what color ribbon did you get?
So for the art walk, it was green.
Okay.
Garden is it's like a pinkish sort of burgundy. Ooh. And then the history walk is a new one. So that's a black ribbon that says 1851 in the center for the start of the state fair.
All right. So you did the art walk.
Yeah, I did the art. I kind of did the art and the garden walk simultaneously because those were easy to do together. And sometimes it'd even be like sort of a combo stop on the walk. Like there might be this garden installation with an art piece within it. So you kind of could get a 2-for-1 there.
Oh, and so what did you do? I mean, what are the things that you saw doing this walk that a lot of people would walk right past if they weren't looking for it?
Yeah, actually one of the, I'd say one of the showcase art pieces was sort of along the grandstand, and it's kind of by the Cirque at the fair exhibit, and that's kind of like off to the corner, and you don't usually walk over that way, but they had this like 400 gallon milk bottle sculpture with like cows and chickens and all these motifs painted on it.
Oh,
it was a huge art piece, and I was like, wow, I wouldn't have walked over here if it hadn't been for this walk that they have. And it was surrounded by a really nice landscaped garden. I feel like they're doing more plants and sort of nice places to sit down every year at the fair now. So
yeah, well, my husband and I, when we were there, we ended up going into, because Smokey Bear was at the DNR Pavilion.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
we walked past there back, and there's like a pond and a nice little walk and a lot of places to sit down, which you can't usually find when you're looking for them around the fair.
Right. I think that's in the exploratory park is what you're talking about.
Yeah,
there were some
right
stops
in
within there, too. A lot of the garden stops were in there.
Oh, neat. So what was the most, aside from that giant milk bottle, what was the one thing that you said, wow, I didn't know this was here?
Oh, good question. You know, there were some where it was like, oh, this is actually just always here. It wasn't it was more of a permanent display. Like there's a lot of murals on the Grand Champion Hall building.
That's right.
So it kind of pointed that out. Or just more of the, I guess there's more gardens on like the side by the animals that I didn't really notice before.
Oh, I didn't know those were there.
Yeah.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
Well, there's still time. Today is the last day of the fair. And where do you go if you want to take one of those walks? How do you sign up for that?
So if you go into the Exposition Center by the Youth Art Exhibit, they have the cards there. Or if you go into the Grand Champion Hall, they have cards there as well. And you can, if you get back there, I think by like 8 p.m. is usually when they start closing up those two buildings. If you go back by 8 p.m., you can return the card to get your ribbon.
And speaking of closing, apparently the barn closures take place at 3 o'clock. That's when they're going to start closing them today. So
okay.
If you want to see those animals, you want to get out there early. Also, I guess Pat McCurdy is playing at Bank 5-9. And the Happy Together Tour, that's the big stage show tonight at the State Fair. So there's still time to get out there, enjoy the final day of the fair, because we got to wait a whole year before we get to go and eat something on a stick and have a delicious cream puff.
A whole
my
year
favorite
until
thing.
Sporky's again.
I couldn't wait to get in there and get my cream puff. All right, we've got Jessica. She's going to be back with us at 9:30. I'm Libby Collins. It is going to be a beautiful day today. We're looking at temperatures that are going to get up to about 78 under sunny skies. And we've got 68 at WTMJ at 9:14. And coming up in just a couple minutes, we have Wyatt Barmore Pooley and sports right here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
A classic pitcher's duel at American Family Field Saturday night as Tobias Myers and Nick Martinez match zeros through 7 innings. The Brewers only mustering up one measly single until Rhys Hoskins stepped to the plate in the 8th inning.
And the pitch. Hit to left and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here and gone for Hoskins! And the Brewers have the lead!
Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker on the call here on WTMJ. And after Hoskins' 20th big fly of the year gave the crew the lead, it was time for Devin Williams to get his first save of the year with a bang.
The stretch and the pitch. He struck him out, swinging. And he just struck out the side. And the Brewers have beaten the Cincinnati Reds.
Brewers go for the sweep Sunday afternoon. Our coverage starts with Brewers warm-up at noon right here on WTMJ. Jordan Love returning to the field Saturday for the first time since being made the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Only two passes for the Packers' $220 million man in Green Bay's postseason opener. But his last was a 65-yard touchdown pass to Dontavion Wicks, and the Pack was off and running to a 23-10 win over the Cleveland Browns. Only one moment tarnishing a solid team effort for the green and gold. Rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd left the game with a hamstring injury. Next week, the Pack takes on the Broncos on Sunday. And a banner day for the red, white, and blue in Paris. Let's run down the gold medals. Men's basketball downs the host nation to win the U.S.'s fifth straight gold. Steph Curry with a flurry of three-pointers, and now all of America knows why it was so fun to be a Warriors fan during their run. Women's soccer returning to the top for the first time since the 2012 games. Mallory Swanson with the only goal. Alyssa Nair, another stellar performance in goal. Two shutouts in the semifinal and final for the U.S. keeper. And in track and field, the Americans sweep the 4x400 relay in both genders. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
It's coming up to 919, 68 degrees. What a beautiful day it's going to be. 78 for a high, sunny skies, and very little humidity. This is the kind of summer day we love in Wisconsin. As we said, this is going to be a beautiful day today. Sunshine, very comfortable without all that humidity that we've been experiencing. 78 for a high. Then tonight, it's going to be a little bit cool, especially if you're inland. 55 for your low, 62 near the lake. Tomorrow, another nice day. It's going to be a little cloudier, though. We'll get up to about 80 degrees, and there is a slight chance of showers. But then Tuesday and Wednesday are sunny with those temperatures hovering right around 80 degrees. Right now, 69 degrees at 922 on WTMJ.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
Welcome into the Sunday Sip on WTMJ. Greg Matzik, happy to be joined by Holiday Automotive's Chief Operating Officer. It's Willie Beyer. Such a great place, Holiday Automotive. I've been a spokesperson for about a decade now, and it's with good reason. They do it different. They do it the right way at Holiday. And Willie, as I scroll through Holiday's Facebook page, I am constantly reminded of how you do business with the amount of 5-year and 10-year anniversaries I see from some of your employees. You yourself, 25 years as a working adult, 20 of those have been at Holiday Automotive. Why is that?
Well, Greg, I think it starts with ownership with Mike Shannon Sr. and Michael Shannon Jr. You know, we're really lucky to have a great culture at Holiday Automotive that's been cultivated over 65 years of business here in Fond du Lac. And, you know, it's not only the great culture, but it's the push to continue to grow and serve people. We're very fortunate. You know, it's our mission to be the best car dealership, giving the best experience with the best team. It all starts with having the best team, and it makes it really, really easy to work for a place when you do have the best team. And the message is the same from the top down. So we're really fortunate with our leadership. We're really fortunate with the longevity of our staff. And it's a testament to the people in Fond du Lac that have patronized our dealership for 65 years and have supported our growth over that time.
You know, what's amazing is I have a good friend of mine who is constantly traveling for work, and he was in the market for a new vehicle. The person he worked with that Holiday took him on a video tour of a beautiful vehicle, took him inside and out of the vehicle. So when he went up to Holiday and made the decision to purchase the vehicle, he was in and out in 45 minutes.
Our process is very transparent, and we make great efforts to make sure it's very transparent just so we can get folks in and out in a quick manner of fashion. You know, folks do most of their research online. They know what they want. They know the colors and the accoutrements and all the things on the vehicle that they want to have. So once they settle in on that and they're targeted in on the vehicle that they want to have, we want to make their buying experience pleasurable, efficient, and friendly for the most part in order to get them in and out in a quick manner of fashion.
Willie Beyer joining us, Chief Operating Officer at Holiday Automotive in Fond du Lac. You really can't go through an event summer in Fond du Lac without Holiday getting behind something. I saw this Cops and Kids run that you did, a fun run. Of course, minor league baseball is prevalent in the Fond du Lac area. You're behind that as well, and so many other things. Why is it so important to have that level of community involvement?
Greg, we have 7 core values in our company, and one of our core values is give where you live, and we want to support our town and local communities through any kind of charity organizations that we can. You know, being in business for 65 years in Fond du Lac and the greater Fond du Lac area, it's important to us to pay back to the folks that have patronized our dealership for so long. So that community involvement, I think, helps us have a partnership with the town, the people, the community, and helps us become, you know, a staple of the community, so to speak. And for everybody here, it's really important to give back to the people that have given us so much in our lives as well.
You know, a couple of years ago, you engaged in a partnership with Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. He has now moved on to the NFL, doing good things. I don't know that I'll be able to cheer for the New York Jets here, Willie, specifically, but cheering for a Fond du Lac kid who is off to great things in the NFL. And Braylon and I have spoke about the partnership as well. It's great to see one of your own go on and do great things.
Yeah, Greg, that's super exciting. Braylon was a stud football player here at our local high school. It was exciting to see him in Cardinal Red play for the Badgers and just rack up a ton of yards. And then, you know, he made a decision to, with his first contract in the NFL, purchase his mother a new vehicle. And he brought her here to make that purchase and to have that buying experience. And we were very, very humbled by that. We're excited to continue our relationship with Braylon. He's going to be on a jet squad that's looking to kind of get back in the hunt, so to speak, out there in the AFC East. And we're excited to see what he can do on the field this year in Jets green as well.
You know, Willie, I spent some time up at Holiday about a month ago. My wife needed her Buick Enclave fixed. Just had a couple of dings. Couple things stood out to me. Number one, driving in, the inventory on campus, whether it was the Mazda dealership, the Ford dealership, Buick GMC, there were vehicles and plenty of them. So the inventory was fantastic. That really stood out. But also with the body and glass, the collision center, that was my first experience working with that division of the company. And it was fantastic. I had a loaner car that I was able to use. That helped us in a situation. We've got a big family, so getting kids to one practice to the next, that's a challenge. We needed that good-sized vehicle. Holiday was able to help. Timely fix, and it was meticulous. The vehicle looks brand new, and this is another great service element from Holiday.
We opened our collision center, standalone collision center, in 2021 after having two different campuses with the mission of just taking great care of people in Fond du Lac and the greater Fond du Lac area when they do have those unfortunate incidents. And at the time, we grew our offerings to glass and certain PDR dent repairs, things of that nature, just so we can make sure we're taking care of the folks who purchase vehicles from us all the way through the process and make it a one-stop shop and make it very easy and simple and make sure they have alternate transportation options. The biggest thing, or our charge in life there, is it's important that people have transportation. If you think about it, transportation gets you to your kids' soccer games, gets you to your guitar lessons, gets you to dance and ballet, all those different things. And those things are important life moments. And we want to be able to afford safe, reliable transportation, whether you have a new car, used car you're purchasing from us, or you're in for service or body work, we want to get you to life's moments so you don't have any interruption.
Willie Byers, the Chief Operating Officer at Holiday Automotive. Willie, I can't thank you enough for the partnership that we've had over the last decade or so. It's meant the world to us and our family. We are repeat customers for a reason. If you're in the market for a vehicle, whether it's new or used, you want the process to be transparent and hassle-free. I cannot say enough great things about the team at Holiday Automotive. Congrats on doing business the right way, Willie. Really appreciate your time today.
I appreciate you, Greg, and the partnership we've had with you and all the kind words. You folks have been great.
It's 929 on WTMJ. And welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It is 935 on WTMJ. There is still fallout from what happened during the Trump assassination attempt about a month ago. Joining us is News Nation national correspondent Elizabeth Pran. Elizabeth, tell us about these latest videotapes which have been released by local police.
Hey, it's been fascinating, Libby, really, to see the developments. It's been sort of a drip, drip, drip for the past couple weeks. So are we getting more answers to our questions today? We are. But are there still a number of unanswered questions about maybe protective advancements in place or the chain of command and security prior to? That is really where we still have a number of questions that are unanswered. So with the new body cam footage that we are seeing today, we can see that it's very disorganized. It's very dramatic, very chaotic. You can hear officers really feeling helpless. So there's five state officers and they're from different municipalities, so they're not necessarily just Butler Township police officers that were surrounding the warehouse where the gunman had climbed up, really shimmied up this warehouse during the now very famous campaign rally. So we're getting these elements that are painting a picture for us, right? And the body cam coupled with the dash cam and, of course, the eyewitness accounts, and we've learned more and more about the text messages, show the different response by the state and local versus the federal security and where the communication was and where it wasn't. But we're getting a more clear picture of the timeline. So, Libby, if you look at some of the body cam footage that we're seeing, it's starting around 6:08 p.m., you can hear officers identifying the threat. And a lot of it is beeped out, but you can hear them say, the threat one is down, the threat one is down, we need to secure the rest of the area, and you can hear it beeped out. And then you hear one officer say, I told them, the Secret Service, I told them that on Tuesday. And so what we're getting is a sense that the local law enforcement had really a sense of hopelessness at that moment. There was about, 3 minutes between 6:08, and then obviously this subject was neutralized at 6:11 p.m. Eastern time, where they were doing their best, but it was very, very chaotic, Libby.
Well, the head of the Secret Service at that time has already resigned. Her replacement, who I gather is temporary, in testimony said something to the effect that no one from local police had told the Secret Service of any threat. Now, this seems to dispute this.
That is really the disconnect, because you have this body cam footage, which I mentioned is new information over the past 24 hours, where it is on camera. Someone is saying, I notified them of the threat on Tuesday. So what was the threat? Was the threat the building is perhaps a vulnerability? Was it that they had eyes on this man prior to? So that is where we're thinking to ourselves, okay, so what did you notify them on Tuesday? Now, the Secret Service has been, as you mentioned, they have answered questions, they have held press conferences, and they have spoken to members of Congress. But what we are hearing from those who have resigned is there clarity on what I learned is the term protective advance? So what exactly was up the chain of command prior to the event that everything was secure? So you have on camera the local law enforcement saying this building is not secure. I told the Secret Service, and your Secret Service saying, well, we didn't know that that building wasn't secure. That's up to local law enforcement. So what your question is exactly what our question is. These are the unanswered questions that I was talking about. And it continues to be sort of this drip, drip, drip of information. But this body cam footage is something that we just haven't seen before, right? It's about 2.5 minutes long. A lot of it is beeped out because there's profanities, but it puts that timeline together for us, the 6:08 to 6:11 p.m. when he was neutralized. And as I mentioned, at one point, the gunman making eye contact with an officer who then quickly ducked, and then the assassination attempt took place, and then we know that he was neutralized at 6:11 p.m., Libby.
And the other thing that stood out to me when I watched that video is somebody said, where are they? And one of the other officers said, well, they're inside the building. And I assumed by that they were talking about Secret Service agents.
And that's a valid point, because when I mentioned when you and I first got on the phone, it was disorganized and chaotic. It was, because there were people in the woods. There were people inside the building. There were people trying to shimmy up the building. There was no ladder or easy access point. And then, of course, you have the testimony of people in the crowd who were yelling that they could see him on the rooftop. So when this initially happened, we had the information that there was a man on the roof, but we didn't get the understanding of what was taking place around the warehouse. And now we're learning that there was all of these men and women trying to get a better understanding of the threat that they could all identify, but they weren't able to neutralize. So when you say that they're inside the building, there also is people, as I mentioned, in the perimeter trying to figure out where this threat is, if that makes sense.
It makes sense, but it doesn't make sense, Elizabeth.
Right.
And, so we've had the head of the Secret Service resign. Who else is going to be responsible? Are they all just going to shrug their shoulders and say, well, the person in charge is already gone, so we just move on from this point? Or will other heads roll?
Well, and I think that is so valid. And we've spoken to experts throughout the day, and they say to us that they do feel as if there are existing problems. So is it retention year after year? Is it that the agency has suffered losses of personnel and they need to be very forthcoming, identify those and how they're going to remediate. And then also the information sharing. So the American public, as taxpayers, and of course, as people who are just very concerned about our leaders, are probably thinking to themselves, okay, so what is the information sharing between local, state, and federal law enforcement when they're on scenes like this? Does that need updating? To answer your question, I think all of us are saying, okay, you're right. We have seen the head of the Secret Service resign. So what's next? How can you assure us that these men and women who make decisions for us with our taxpaying dollars are safe? So to answer your question, I think that we're all sort of wondering if more heads will roll. But all of those questions we are hearing from former law enforcement, former experts, you know, retired FBI supervisory, a lot of people in roles asking these exact same questions.
And just as an aside, Elizabeth, I don't know if you saw that, but there was a picture that kind of made the rounds after the assassination attempt of the female Secret Service agents. And when J.D. Vance was on the ground here in Eau Claire in Wisconsin just the other day, at least one of those same agents was part of his detail. That may mean nothing, but I just think a lot of people are talking about it, and it is an interesting part of this story.
I think it is an interesting part of the story, and I think Americans are allowed to ask these questions, and they're allowed to look at photographs and say, it's about business, right? It's about saving lives. What are you capable of? Are you capable of being in that position? I think those are fair questions. And I do think the Secret Service knows that. I mean, we've seen them be more forthcoming with answering questions in the public. But I don't think that's going to stop. And I also don't think it's enough to answer your question. I think we will be hearing more from them because there is more criticism. And I saw that photograph as well. And I saw the criticism online. And I think they have to answer that.
Elizabeth Pran, national correspondent for News Nation. Pleasure to talk with you today.
Thank you, Libby.
And there is another story about a video regarding the Secret Service. I just saw this in Business Insider this morning, where apparently right after Vice President Harris was stepped into the race and was the presumptive Democratic nominee, she had her first fundraiser in Western Massachusetts. And apparently the Secret Service, and this is a beauty salon owner, is saying, you know, they closed their business for the day because we're in proximity of where Vice President Harris was going to be. And the Secret Service came in and said, we have to do a bomb sweep. And she said, rather than inconvenience customers, she just closed down for the day. But they've got video of the Secret Service coming in, taping over the outside, the exterior video camera. And then inside the building, they apparently picked a lot. This is what is being alleged by the owner of the salon. They picked the lot to her business, let people come in and out of the salon for 2 hours using the bathroom. Apparently, while inside alarms were going off, she's pretty upset about it. And again, you know, the Secret Service, apparently there was some deniability, but apparently now they finally are apologizing for the intrusion. Interesting. It's an interesting organization, though, isn't it? Okay, that's all I'm going to say. It's 9:45. Coming up next, we've got Wyatt Barmore Pooley and sports right here on WTMJ.
Making his first game appearance since becoming the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, Jordan Love needed only two passes in the Green Bay Packers preseason debut to show why he's worth the green for the green and gold.
Looking deep downfield, and he's got it. Dontavian Wicks is going to get into the end zone for a touchdown.
A 65-yard touchdown pass on his only series of the day. Love only throwing two passes before turning it over to the backup battle of Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt, who led the rest of the way to a 23-10 win over the Cleveland Browns. Only one bit of a downer for the Pack. Rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd leaving the game with a hamstring injury. Next week, the Pack will take on the Denver Broncos on Sunday. On the diamond, the Brewers only needed two hits for the victory Saturday night. That's because one of them was this.
And the pitch. Hit!
1-0 final at American Family Field. Tobias Myers masterful again through 7 1/3 innings, a career-high 9 strikeouts for the Brewers right-hander. The crew goes for the sweep Sunday afternoon. Our coverage starts with Brewers warm-up at noon here on WTMJ. And put a white beard on me and call me Uncle Sam. It's time for some good old-fashioned Olympic gloating. Women's soccer, gold for the first time since 2012. 4x400 relay, golden men's, golden women's. Men's basketball, America's got Steph Curry. And the golden dagger to seal the triumph has to be seen to be believed. Imperial beats metric, baby, USA. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
And Wyatt looks really good in that beard, too. It's 9:50. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we'll tell you what's going on WTMJ Conversations a little bit later on this morning.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
With the end of the Wisconsin State Fair, you might be looking for things to do later on this week. And joining us is Kimberly Graves from the Milwaukee County Zoo. And this is the week we wait for at the zoo. It's Zoo a la Carte. And you've got some great bands that are going to be playing, lots of food, and best of all, Kim, it's going to be the animals.
Yeah, we're so excited that it's a la carte time this summer. A la carte is back. We have national headliners, local entertainment across 6 stages, more than 25 food vendors, of course, the animals, and all your zoo favorites will be open, like the goat yard, the carousel, and the train. So there's truly something for everyone. So, I'm thrilled to be here to tell you more about it.
Now, the bands start on Thursday night. Tell us who's going to be playing on Thursday.
To our national headliners, Thursday night we have Deep Blue Something. They're known for their hit Breakfast at Tiffany's. Friday night, our up-and-coming country band Parmalee, that we're really excited about. And then Saturday is the legendary Wailers featuring Junior Marvin.
Wow.
And we also have a number of, local bands across all the other stages. And all of those performances are included with your admission to a la carte. So it's a great value and a number of musical stylings for everyone.
And you've got food from all over the area. What are some of your favorites, Kim?
Well, we are thrilled to have Saz's is returning. Everyone loves Saz's. They've been at the festival since the very beginning. But also, I'm really excited about some of our newer vendors. So we have everything from hearty burgers to empanadas, Asian street food, gourmet tater tots. So really just a variety of offerings. It'd be fun to walk around, as we like to say, have a snack by the seals and tacos by the tigers.
I love it. Well, and it's interesting, too, because some of the animals are more active at night than they are during the day.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to see them out and about. The harbor seals are really fun to watch. The Japanese macaques over at Monkey Island are always, getting up to something and really active and fun to watch. But it's unique for us, but unique for the animals as well, to just see them sort of after hours is really just a more laid-back, relaxed zoo staple for the summer.
And there's been a few new births. The Eastern Bongo Herd, I understand, has some new babies.
We do, yes. We have an adorable little calf, an Eastern Bongo. Her name is Nayiri. She will be out in the bongo yard. And we also have, as mentioned earlier, a macaque baby who's very cute, as well as a little porcupine over in the small mammals building. So lots of babies to see this time around as well.
Now, if you want more information about Zoo a la Carte and it gets underway this Thursday, what do we need to do?
Sure. So we encourage you to buy tickets in advance if you can at milwaukeezoo.org. Also check out the menus and the entertainment lineup. Sort of plan ahead, get an idea of what you might want to eat. Just know our food and beverage vendors this year will be accepting card only, no cash. So however, if you don't have cash on, you also have a cash to card kiosk, so you can convert that. Otherwise, we're just really excited to see people at the gates and bring everyone in and just have another great year of a la carte.
It is always a fun time at the Milwaukee County Zoo. Kimberly Graves, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's 70 degrees at 9:56 on WTMJ. Well, many of us were absolutely shocked and appalled when we saw how quickly the Afghan government fell apart when U.S. troops withdrawal took place. But Qadir Shah Hotek described his surprise as a resident of Kabul when he woke up one day to see the Taliban troops.
So my brother they hired him to the airport. So he was there, and then there was a Sunday, we receive a call that says president is not anymore in the castle, like he's out of the country and everything is done. 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, my brother was called me and he said, like, hey, where is the other brothers? Like, to make sure everybody is okay. And where are those? So we called my brother that he was interpreter, and we just let him know that nothing is okay outside. Just make sure you stay in the airport. At least you can be safe there, because we don't know what's going to happen to you outside. So he was making a phone call like, to make sure that everybody's okay. And the screaming and shouting was starting on the outside. Once I came out, I saw the terrorist groups and these other people that they was had the governmental vehicles and the weapons, everything that they was just going around the streets. And we was completely surprised. Now you just accept that you're not safe anymore.
Qadir Shah Hotak talked with me about his escape from Afghanistan, not knowing where he'd end up, and also how he's working now right here in Milwaukee, helping other immigrants adjust to life in the United States. That's the whole story today at 11 o'clock on WTMJ Conversations. I'm Libby Collins. Thanks for joining us today. After the news with Jess, it's going to be David Wickard and Tim Holdman on the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show. Yep, they're going to be talking about those mortgage rates and how they're starting to drop. It's all ahead right here on WTMJ.